This is Gotta Talk About It, and you're listening to The Fellas.
Okay, Ray, am I okay?
Yeah, you're okay.
Am I sweaty?
Yeah, you're pretty sweaty.
Oh, shit. Give me some napkins.
Oh.
Yeah, to dry off.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, boys and girls, everybody, listen up. Look, it's, as always, it's your boy, it's Antoine, it's Ray. We got nothing better to do. We ain't going nowhere. We're not paid much. But here's the thing. We got an important business partner, a guest, on today because this movie was so important. This is the culmination. This is why we made the program.
Yes.
To build up, to review this, to have someone important, so important, he's not even in the studio.
Oh.
Why is he not in the studio? Because he's important. He's got shit to do. Now,
he's calling in.
Here's the thing. This important movie we reviewed, Avengers Infinity War, it's the culmination of all the investment that Disney put in to buying Marvel and making either the movies and all that shit. It's what's known as the long con. This is the culmination of all that.
10 years.
Right. And as well, this is the culmination of making this show to speak with this important business person on the phone. Now, here's the thing. Now, this is between me, Ray, and whatever 5-year-old is listening to this after hours. Don't let your mom know you're going to be in trouble.
Don't.
All right? We have actually had some business dealings with him before, okay?
Oh, I remember.
There was a promising company that we were a part of. It was called TA Comics, okay? Oh. It was going to be big. It was going to be huge.
Yeah.
It never got off the ground. Full disclosure, I'm going to be fair.
I thought it was because of the subtitle of the company's name.
Well, that may have had something to do with it because we had to shorten it up because we couldn't say the full name and still quite come across the comic code.
Yeah.
But
and the logo, too.
What? The sperm cell?
Yeah, Bastard Seed.
That was the best. Okay, well, whatever. Look, let's just say mistakes were made.
Okay.
Okay, some mistakes were made. That company went south, but we still kept our Rolodex of the important investors in the company just thanks to the small thing of pestering him every fucking day and coming up with a new LLC at the last minute and making some podcasts to make it seem legit. We've convinced this guy to give us another chance, all right? So live from sunny LA, we've got Dre on the line. Dre, say hello to the people.
Hear me and rejoice.
Oh, my God.
You have had the privilege of being saved by the great podcast.
Okay.
You may think of this as suffering. No, it is salvation. Universal scales tip towards balance because of your sacrifice. Now listen and enjoy.
You see,
what's up?
There's a problem right there. Because you're treating them almost like equals. You're basically telling them to rejoice, and you fucked up because you made them think you give a shit about how they feel. You treat our listeners like a battered housewife.
Look, man, look.
No. That's just stuff you say to draw them in to make them feel comfortable before you go Thanos on them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you like how you pick up a woman. Like what I say, like my opening line is, hey, girl, you 18? And they like that shit. They come right in.
Oh, shit.
Pretty much.
But I like what Disney and Marvel did, you know? Kids were going into the theater expecting
such a... Please leave the D word out of this.
Well, okay. Look, Marvel made 10 years worth of movies where kids could go watch and see, and they got big smiles on their faces, and there was nothing better to me to see all these kids cry at the very end of the movie.
Okay, you know what? All right, let's hold off on that. We are going to have a very cursory thing with the plot, and then a very cursory thing with the actors, and then we're just going to spoil the shit out of this, because there is no way I can go for long with this being spoiler-free, because you wouldn't know what the fuck was going on. As it should be. I've never been a fan of people taking comic book movies and spending like the first 2 hours setting it up, which is like boring as shit. And I'm like, if you don't know what the fucking comic book is, you shouldn't fucking be here. I'm not some random guy off the street. Black Panther? That sounds like that's a good movie. I've never heard of that before. Let me walk on in there and say, no, I'm going to be like, oh shit, Black Panther. I used to read that when I was a kid. I'm going to go in there. I don't need, you know, this much exposition. So we're going to give you guys a brief description and just fucking jump right in.
Let's get started.
All right. So basically, Avengers Infinity War, the culmination of really everything the Marvel movies were building up to ever since the first Avengers movie. No. Ever since the first Captain America movie.
No. Iron Man.
The first one, that Infinity Stone. What movie was that?
That was Captain America.
Captain America.
Ever since Captain America, it's been leading up to this. Because Captain America, they didn't show Thanos. But right after Captain America, I think there was the Avengers. And that's when they first showed Thanos. And it was like, yeah, it's on. It's fucking happening. And it's like at the end of every Marvel movie, movie after that, you can kind of see it's building up to that. I remember I had to fucking change my pants at the end of Guardians Part 2, where they had the gold chick. What's her name?
Alicia.
Yeah, Alicia. It was saying, with my child. I should call him Adam. My eyes started rolling back in my head a little bit, and I started convulsing.
Oh, shit.
Then there was a little bit of crying. That's how I ejaculate. Don't judge me. I was like, oh, yeah, Infinity War. That's it. It's done. You cannot have Infinity War without fucking Adam Warlock. It's like, yeah, that's it. They're leading up to Infinity War. I was bouncing around like a goddamn, I don't know, what's something that bounces?
Fucking pair of tits.
You're pointless to me. But either way, I was really hyped with that scene. So everything is pretty much building up to this. And this is the very definition of a summer blockbuster. This, to me, is what summer blockbusters used to be.
When was it that they laid out the roadmap to Infinity War? Was it like at the end of Phase 2 or...
Around Phase 2, yeah.
Like, from the very moment they laid out the roadmap with those movies, I was like, I'm in, because this reminds me of, like, a good comic run.
Yeah.
You might have some weak issues here and there, but you just want to stick in to see the payoff.
Exactly.
Marvel did something that no one's ever done. I mean, who has told an 18-part, 19-part story? I mean, most movies, they flop by the third sequel.
Oh, except right. for one series, though.
They consistently made great movies. Now, some might be lackluster.
Ant-Man.
People have their opinions.
Ant-Man was
funny for a different audience. You know, it was
if you want funny for a different audience, you give me a Deadpool. Deadpool achieved nothing, but I chuckled. It was good. I watched Ant-Man and I was like, these are jokes I would tell my grandmother because I don't want her to hear me cuss.
Maybe
like,
it was
what the fuck is this?
Maybe because Ant-Man was filmed for, you know, the ABC family.
Ant-Man, that movie was thrown out there, so when you watch the Avengers Civil War, you wouldn't be like, who the fuck is this guy? You're like,
I don't want to get into let's not go down that rabbit hole. Was not a horrible movie, but if I was a 10-year-old kid, I would have enjoyed it.
If you were a 10-year-old kid, okay, that's fair. All right. It's not a horrible movie. It's meant for a younger audience. That's fine. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. Now,
And even that was better than most of the schlock we get from Company X. I will not say their name on the show.
You mean Green Lantern?
So you're trying to fuck with me now? Is that what? So you wanna start some shit in the studio?
Oh, I'm gonna start some shit soon, though.
We can fucking move some furniture around. Don't fucking start this with me right now. I'm already emotional because I had to come to grips that fuck it. I'm just gonna have to hitch my trailer to Marvel. I'm the last person in line, but I'm just gonna have to hitch my trailer. I hung on, DC.
Your hate. You can't hate quality, man. You hate Marvel movies. You can't hate on quality. Okay?
Look, it's quality. Okay. You know what? I'm going to say it. Yeah, it's quality. It's quality. You want to hear me say it's been better than basically every DC movie so far except for Wonder Woman? I'll tell you that. That's fine. Okay?
Ooh.
And that fucking hurts.
Ooh, that hurts.
That hurts. But you know what? Pain... Pain is weakness leaving the body.
Which one was Wonder Woman again? Was that the one where she fought? Did she fight? What was it? She fought the villain from Justice League at the end of her movie, right?
No, they all look alike to me.
Okay. I don't know. All the movies have the same plot. They want to terraform the Earth. They did that on three movies already. They fought some general. Well, three movies they fought a general. You know, I don't know. I don't know what I'm watching. They all blend together. Company X, just, I don't know.
We got to get into the movie, man. We got to get into the movie because I want to do some comparisons real quick.
I'm
going to
be doing this shit all day. All right.
You're going to love my comparison.
All right. So hold on. Let's start with what I believe is the biggest gorilla in the room. Squeezing so much star power into one movie. And honestly, it's so many stars. I'm not even just going to go character by character and say how they did. It's genuinely too fucking many of them. I will say...
If you don't know who they are, then shame on you.
But I will say that kid plays Spider-Man. He's not
Tom Holland. Just saying Spider-Man.
Tom Holland. He's not a kid, but he does the whole kid thing so well. And that Spider-Man movie that Sony redeemed themselves with because it was written by the Disney people, that was...
Marvel people. Marvel people. We don't use the D word in this
sorry,
show.
Sorry. I didn't mean to swear. The Spider-Man movie written by the Marvel people. That kid. Why I keep fucking calling him a kid? That's how good he is. I keep saying
exactly.
Kid. Tom Holland. I really want something to happen with him, man. I want him to have the best career ever because everything he does from beginning to end, I just think of like a little boy who's got no dad and he looks up to me. So everything he's doing, he's trying to win my approval as if I am his dad. And that's what he's doing with Tony Stark. And I thought maybe it was a one-off with the Spider-Man movie, but he still does it here. And of course, because I'm a good little boy, I'm rewarded with the Scarlet Spider outfit. I mean, I was busting so many nuts with all the different things I saw. I was just shooting dust by the time I left.
You want to go through the plot for like 1 minute or less than 30
okay,
seconds?
Okay, hold on. Before we do that, Dre, which of all the different characters, I got Spider-Man. You can get Spider-Man if you want also. Which one do you think stuck out the most?
Oh.
Just an excellent.
Spider-Man nailed it for me for very specific reasons. Tom Holland does an excellent job. He's
Spider-Man to the core. Job.
I don't know, man. It's a toss-up because I was really digging Thor. I was digging Thor's arc. I was digging Star-Lord, Tony,
everybody
and Strange.
Man.
Those were the ones that stood out for me.
We're going to talk about the Star-Lord shit for like an hour. But that's,
oh, my God.
We're going to have to wait for that to come up. Don't worry about it.
Man.
Yeah. Those were my main ones. I mean, my boyfriend, Captain America, I mean.
Oh, you like him with the beard? You like him gruff?
He steals the show every time. You know what I mean?
Captain America just shows up and steals it.
You know who got a lot of screen time here and made them look so freaking powerful?
Who?
Scarlet Witch.
Because she is.
Yeah. Well, she is powerful, but in my opinion, she did not get a lot of screen time. I mean, realistically, if we're going to go, let me take off my normal hat and put on my nerd tinfoil hat. Realistically, Scarlet Witch could have ended this.
That's why Okoye was like, why was she in the tower the whole time?
Because the movie has to go for 2 hours. Realistically, Scarlet Witch could have just told Thanos, like, before he got all the stones, like, yeah, fucking go away.
I wish you were never born.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the movie Scarlet Witch. She ain't that powerful because what's the point of watching that?
Yeah, she's an Olsen.
Yeah, she's fucking Olsen.
Her power split in three. So
Ray, for you, who stuck out, Ray? Who's the best?
I'm going to say Doctor Strange, man. If he got Uber, man, he got Uber. That's some Naruto shit right there, man.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you that. I like that. Coming from someone, I'm assuming you heard our review of the Doctor Strange movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I could not give 1/8 of one piece of a shit about Doctor Strange. I've never fucking cared about Doctor Strange. And I watched that movie, and I was like, yo, let me go buy some Doctor Strange books. That's how good the Doctor Strange movie was.
Yeah.
Seeing him in this, I was like, okay, you know what? I like what he's doing, but it felt like in the movie, it felt like he was really holding himself back. And that wasn't bothering me in the movie because I read, God damn, it's so long ago. I think I read the gist of Infinity War. And throughout the whole time, Doctor Strange was like, yeah, I'm not going to fucking fight this guy. That's pointless. Doctor Strange was just sitting there telling people what to do, and that was it. And if I remember correctly, he straight out told them, like, yeah, you're nothing but cannon fodder. Oh, so you want us to go this way and do this, and that's how we're going to beat him? No, you're not going to beat him.
Here's something we'll eventually get to, but do you remember Doctor Strange's last words in the movie?
It was the only option.
Okay, let's leave that there and then get back to that later.
Yeah, I mean, it clearly... Doctor Strange on the chessboard.
I'm just saying. We'll get back
okay,
to this.
Okay, you know what?
Let's get
we'll,
back
we'll,
to that
we'll
plot,
get back
man.
To, see, that's the problem with this. When a movie's that good, it should have you doing this.
Yeah.
It should have the leash on you, like a dog running to the end of the chain and you just fucking bark and someone has to drag you back on that chain. That's what this movie is doing. And that's how you know it's a good movie.
So try to do the plot in 30 seconds. Let's see if
you
can do it.
Okay, let me kick it out in 30 seconds. All right. So there's this guy, Thanos. He seems all powerful. At the end of the day, he's still just a person, but he's uber strong, uber intelligent. He just ranked from 1 to 10. He's ranking 10 plus on all the scales you want to check off. He has this vision of the entire galaxy that it must have balance. He's obsessed with it. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to kill 50% of every single living thing in the entire known universe. And that will create balance, and the people will be better off for it, and the people will hate me. I don't care. I'm going to do it. It's going to help them. I won't seek praise. When that's done, I can die. I'll be happy. By the way, this man is insane. But that was, you get that. He's insane, but he genuinely wants to help.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? Now you're going to rule over what's left? No. Fucking leave. I'm going to leave and go take a nap.
I love the way they broke it down in the movie.
Yes.
Where he said simply, we live in a finite universe with exactly. finite resources. Yep. And I just want balance. I want there to not be haves and have-nots. I want everybody to go to bed with a full stomach.
Right.
That's it. And when that's done, I'm going to sit in the sunset and with a smile on my face. And that's pretty much what his intentions are.
Yeah. He'll sit and watch the sunset with a smile on his face, not because he knows for a fact that everything's going to be perfect, but because he knows he did his part.
Yep.
You know? And that's pretty much it. So in order to do this, six stones that were created when the universe were created. Dre, list them off, because I can't fucking remember.
Mind stone, soul stone, time stone, space stone, power stone, and reality stone.
Isn't that a game, power stone?
Yeah.
All right, shut the fuck up. Don't just the grown-ups are talking. So once he gets these five stones, he puts them on the gauntlet, and he can wield them. And essentially, he is God. Not a God. We're talking old school Christian God. He is God. Oh, you know what? Everything in existence, anywhere, anytime, any place. I don't like the way his face looks. I'm going to change all that shit on a whim. I just decide to do it. It's going to happen. No effort, no nothing. I mean, basically, if he gets all five of those, just sit in the corner and hope that God doesn't notice you're there. Like the way things are.
Oh, man.
Like right now. It's like, yeah, I just hope God doesn't notice me, and I'm just going to go about my life.
Oh, man.
Just see what happens. And if something happened, well, I guess God wills it. That's going to be Thanos. Well, once he does all that. If you read the book, you know that. But whatever, yeah. Whatever. Okay, so.
You know, kids don't read these days, so.
The only thing that could possibly stop him is if you take any of the stones and destroy them before he can attach all of them. He can still use the stones individually, but he can't become a god until he gets all of them. So either keep him from finding the stones or just destroy the stones or whatever. So all the heroes of the Marvel Universe are trying to either get to the stones first or just hold him at bay. And again, it is possible to kill him. He's a man. Even when he gets the stones, you could stab him in his throat and kill him. But the thing is, he has to decide to allow you to do that. Yeah. Otherwise, it's completely, it's moot point. He can just decide to himself, yeah, I'm invulnerable. And into the fight.
Yeah.
They're all doing that. They're all trying to fight. It's primarily in three different theaters. It's Earth, it's space with Thor and Rocket, and then it's
space again.
No, it's three.
Planet Earth, Titan.
Space. Thank you. Planet Titan is mainly the last place.
Yeah.
And when I say Planet Titan, that also includes like a spaceship that's going from Earth to Planet Titan. That all counts. And hilarity ensues. That's basically it. To start up, should I even bother?
No.
Should I just hit the spoilers button now?
Yes.
I feel like a fucking child.
Yes.
Can I open the prison now? Can I open the prison now? Can I open the prison now?
Just open the fucking prison, man.
Daddy's going to slap you in the mouth, son, right, if you don't stop saying this. All right. Hit the spoiler button. Boop. Okay.
All right, guys.
So basically, my number one worry with this whole thing was it's too much fucking star power. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, fucking Mark Ruffalo, Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, freaking my boy.
You're missing a Chris.
Oh, the two Chrises.
The three Chrises.
The three. Oh, my God. Chris Evans, Chris Pratt. Who's the fucking other Chris?
Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. You said it
the first time.
Yeah, man.
No, I said Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah,
I said
each Chris one is Pratt. A lead of their own team, almost.
No, what do you mean almost? They are. But the whole thing is, there's so much fucking star power. There's five characters offhand whose individual movies I want to see. And I'm like, you can't crush all of them into one movie. That's not going to work. It's never worked. And what they did was something genius. They took everybody, segmented them off into different groups, and they essentially broke the movie up into three different pieces that were going back and forth.
The last time this was tried, it was a pile of shit. It was called X-Men 3 with Brett.
With
a million characters walking on screen for
buddy.
No reason.
Hey, buddy, calm down now. X-Men 3 was awesome, but let's not get down that rabbit hole. It's been done before. It was called Cannonball Run. It was excellent. Star power up the yin yang.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, star power up the yin yang, but every single star in Cannonball Run had their own scene. It wasn't all of them working together in one scene. And that's what they did in this.
That's why this movie worked.
They broke it up, and it's like, as soon as you start to get a little bit bored with him, let's move over to the next guy. And they expertly found an excuse for every person to meet up with everyone else.
Yeah.
Expertly found an excuse for that. Because my whole thing was like, how in the fuck you going to get the Guardians in here?
No, I knew how they were going to get the Guardians.
I did not see that coming.
Because if they didn't start the movie off the way they did, I mean, if Thor and Hulk were in prime form, they would just wreck Thanos off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, not just that. If fucking Asgard hadn't been destroyed, there'd be no impetus for them to meet up with the Guardians at all.
That
the
is
Guardians
true as well.
Just happen to be going around, hey, there's a distress call. And we're good guys now, so let's answer the distress call. Like, they didn't used to be good guys, but they were after the last movie. Goddamn. I should have, like, pictures hanging on the wall with pieces of red thread going between each picture, like you're hunting down a mob boss, because that's the way they set this shit up. It's like, it all makes sense.
As a matter of fact, maybe destruction of Asgard was the reason why Thanos started this whole thing in the first place.
Maybe it was all Thanos's idea. From the very beginning, his little tentacles were in there. He's working the puppets.
What I liked about this movie, they set the tone like in the first minute. They didn't say, you know, all the parents should have looked at their kids once Loki got his throat destroyed,
which I was disappointed with. I'll get into that in a second.
And they would have said, you know, oh man, this is nobody safe, man. It just killed my boy Loki.
Well, my whole thing with the Loki thing, that kind of disappointed me, because to me, with a situation like that, if anyone was going to come up in the end, it would have been Loki. I would have expected him to be like, hey, you know, give me the stone. Yeah, I got the stone right here. Take it. Then we used to take it. It's like, look, the other stones you need, I know where they are. They're on Earth. I know exactly who has them. Why don't you let me take you down there, be your guide? You know, and be like, oh, what about your brother? Yeah, fuck him. Kill him. And then I would have had Loki with him the whole time. And I was talking to you about this, Ray. Dre, you've read the Infinity comic, Infinity War.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did.
Remember the guy, Mephisto, who was there acting as sort of an independent advisor to Thanos? But the whole time, he was purposely trying to put Thanos in a position that would have him weak enough to be beaten. Oh, you know, Mistress Death.
That's what that's what Mephisto usually does.
Right. Like, the time he's like, oh, Thanos, you know, you need to fight these guys, but you need to make it, like, interesting for Lady Death. You should not use these particular power stones and reduce your power to one half. And he was just doing this and manipulating Thanos to put him in a position to be defeated. I'm like, that should have been Loki.
But going back to what you mentioned, what was Loki's last words? You will never be a god. I don't think Loki's dead.
That would not surprise me. And the whole thing is, I'm just going to try to stab you.
My brother died and he came back.
Oh, man.
Well, because see, my whole thing was, is like, Loki was like, okay, what are you going to do to stop him, Loki? Oh, I'm going to get close and stab him in the throat. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? That just seems stupid. I mean, like, he wouldn't do something that dumb.
If Loki is dead, I'll be surprised, because he did go on his little rant about being the Odin's son, about the heir of Jotunheim and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think he's dead, bro.
I'm going to bring up another. I had not thought about that, but that would make all the sense in the world.
I'm going to bring up another point. This is the reason why the Marvel movies are so much more superior to the DC movies. And it's out of one thing. We all know how strong the Hulk is, right? All right. We all know that his strength is unmeasurable. And I tried to explain this to people, why the DC movies don't work, is because their fighting physics don't make any sense. Like, if you're punching someone as strong as you are, you're going to hold your ground. And just like in this movie, the Hulk was beating the shit out of Thanos, and Thanos was holding his ground. He wasn't flying halfway across the ship or anything like that. None of that DBZ shit. It only works in anime, that kind of fighting style. It doesn't work for cinematic theater. You can't get any of the emotion.
Wow. You know, I didn't really notice that, but you're right. If two like hulking dudes, like two strong dudes are fighting each other, they're not going to be flying all over the place.
Yeah, they're going to hold their ground. Like, one punch, the guy's going flying back like 2 seconds. That's why you can't get attached in the DC movies. No one's holding their ground.
You're right. The only reason Iron Man was flying all over the place is because they were just redirecting his momentum.
Yeah, look at Hulk. He got his shit fucking opened up.
Cream puffed.
His nose is broken. I feel sorry for his ass. Like,
that's not the problem with the DC thing. It's that what they did with Hulk and Thanos, that was much better, because as soon as the Hulk runs at him and you see when the Thanos' guy is about to step forward, little slim guy puts up his hand. I love that. He puts up his hand. No, no, let him have his fun. It's like Thanos. That reminded me of one of the most awesome books I had ever read, in which Darkseid had raised Superman in the fires of apocalypse. And because the fires of apocalypse rage 1,000 times hotter than the sun itself, Superman was able to like subjugate all of the earth in like a matter of hours because he was stupid powerful. And then when I think this was like fucking Lois Lane, because, of course, turn Superman against Thanos. No, fucking Thanos. Lois Lane turns Superman against Darkseid, and Darkseid just takes off his gloves, and he proceeded to beat Superman like a runaway slave.
Oh, man.
And he said, these are his words, "Me being a man of intellect, I've forgotten how rewarding it feels to use my hands." And he was beating Superman, and mind you, Superman was fighting back, and he was like, "Yo, every time this dude hits me, it feels like a fucking collapsing star punching me directly in the goddamn chest," because he was God.
Yeah.
But to me, that was always sort of the same thing with Thanos. It's like, yeah, I can break just about any person I want, but the fact that I would have to use my hands to break them is beneath me. So he doesn't do it. So when the Hulk came out, he's like, no, let him have his fun. You know, you don't need to be doing that. You're a grown-ass man, but you know what? Fucking enjoy yourself.
You're right.
Every once
you're
in
right.
a while, cut loose. Have a little fun.
And that was the only part of the movie where Thanos really resorted to, like, brutal violence.
Yeah, and even then, it looked like he did it because he couldn't reason with the Hulk. The Hulk is nothing more than an animal. Bruce Banner, he could reason with. The Hulk is like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, at least with Thor, I can do a couple things, punch him in a couple ways to make him realize, okay, I can't beat this dude physically. Let me just give him what I want. No, the Hulk is an animal. Needs to be put down.
Yeah, Hulk is pure power, and the only way to deal with that is by
power.
Everybody gets a moment to shine. Even Wong got a moment to shine. He was like the...
Wong was only there because you needed two Doctor Stranges. It's not... I like Wong.
Yeah.
I like him.
It was pretty good, though. I like this version of Wong.
Yeah, this version of Wong, he was pimping.
I'm not upset that he's there. I'm glad he's there. But you know, what...
If it wasn't for him, that dude wouldn't got cut in the face.
Yeah.
He was bleeding. True. Right now, man. We can't have two of these fucking guys out
here. You made me bleed my own blood. No one makes me bleed my own blood.
The best part is, like, you know, after Banner got on Earth and they were in the sanctum, they got Tony... When they encountered the children of Thanos again, when Tony was like talking all that bravado, Ebony Maw, he goes, "Stonekeeper, does this chattering animal speak for you?"
I like that.
The whole movie theater started cracking up, dude. That was an awesome scene.
"Does this chattering animal speak for you?" What I love, and this kind of made me sad, that when Tony, you know, he's walking around with the power core there.
Yeah.
And my whole thing, I'm wondering to myself, why the fuck is he wearing the power core over his shirt and then it's going into his chest? What the fuck? That doesn't make any sense. You know, and Pepper Potts like, "Why do you still have this?" "Oh, you know, it's just necessary." I'm like, "What are they talking about?" And then once he hits it and I see his clothing just turn into the armor, I'm fucking in the theater. And I'm like, I turn to Ray, "Extremis! It's Extremis! That's Extremis!" And the freaking little kid that right was in front of me, like, or next to me, whatever, looked at me like, "The fuck is wrong with this? What the fuck is he talking about?"
That's Iron Man. Was that Extremis? That was Extremis 2.0 mixed with Bleeding Edge.
Whatever. It's from the book. I've been waiting to, because to me, when I saw Extremis, I was like, honestly, that's what Iron Man should be. To me, that was the height of tech.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, no matter what I'm wearing. Because my whole thing is, I always loved that about Venom. It's like Brock never took off the suit. What are you wearing? Walking around with some Hanes underwear? "Oh, I'm going to shoot you." Guess what? Them Hanes is Venom. Venom comes out, bite your dick off. You know, and Tony Stark's like, "Yeah, whatever I'm wearing is the suit because it's Extremis." You know, I was like, that's awesome. It can just morph from, "Oh, I got to wear this nice Louis Vuitton." Boop, boom, done. Oh, let me get a nice Armani suit. Boop, done. The armor turns into whatever he wants to wear, and then it just out of nowhere, if someone tries to shoot him, before the bullet can even penetrate him, the armor would automatically come up. And I was like, yo, that was the extremist one. That's awesome. To me,
with a little bit of bleeding edge thrown in there.
With a little bit of bleeding edge.
But you know,
I always figured they were like the same thing, though, right?
Yeah.
Extremists and bleeding edge.
Well, I don't want to put on my comic book guy's shirt, so let's keep moving.
Yeah,
no, come on, do your hair into a ponytail and gain about 60 more pounds and grow a goatee and become that comic book guy.
You mean like you used to look in the 90s?
Exactly. I had cornrows.
With the trench coat?
I had cornrows. That wasn't a ponytail.
I saw you with a ponytail once, you had a trench coat, like a black Kevin Smith.
No, I wrapped the cornrows up, so it kind of seemed like a ponytail, but it wasn't. They were still cornrows. I still get to keep my black card. They don't count.
Okay, so, I digress.
You know, the writing in this movie is so awesome because, you know, as soon as they introduce Spider-Man, and he's like, hey, He taps his friend. He's like, hey, I need a distraction.
Make a distraction.
It's like, hey, we're all going to die.
His friend didn't even hear what he said. His friend just turned around. Holy shit, we're all going to die. Everything with Spider-Man was the same level of young adolescent comedy. That was
everybody
in the
needs
movie.
A best friend like Ned.
Absolutely. Oh, holy shit, we're all going to die.
That was a great transition.
That was awesome. You know, Spider-Man just hops out there and goes right off to the thing. I was like, awesome.
It was a little running gag with, you know, Mark Ruffalo not being able to change into the Hulk, which was actually really interesting because if you look at all the advertising, you see the Hulk running with Captain America.
Oh, that was the best bait and switch ever.
Yeah, it was, because really, having the Hulk, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, the Hulk couldn't beat Thanos. I believe that. That's fine. Every single one of Thanos' lackeys, the Hulk would have been able to tear in half.
So he would have dusted them.
So you couldn't have the Hulk come out. So that makes sense. That would have been the quickest goddamn fight. That guy who's levitating shit and throwing at him, all that would have done was piss the Hulk off. So I can see that.
From the very first time Banner tried to go Hulk, I didn't really figure out what was going on until maybe the second or third time. The Hulk's afraid.
Yeah, I knew what it was the first time.
The Hulk just got his ass handed to him, so now he's afraid of the Hulk.
That has never happened. The Hulk
and was, I was like, wow.
Not just have his ass handed to him. The Hulk got beaten and the Hulk couldn't land one blow.
Yeah, he got dusted.
Yeah, his confidence is all fucked up. So it's like, yeah, I knew right away when he couldn't come out. I was like, okay, the Hulk's afraid. He's afraid to come out. He's never been beaten before. He didn't know what to fucking do.
Then you get Tony giving Spider-Man his suit around.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wow.
And again.
When he said 17A, he was like, Friday, get me 17A. I was like, okay, Tony gonna put on a bigger suit.
I thought that's what it was.
Dude, when I saw the fucking, say it with me, fucking Scarlet Spider. Again, just like when I saw Extremis, I'm hopping up out of my seat. It's the fucking Scarlet Spider! And these kids are like, mommy, I don't want to sit near this guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's the fucking Scarlet Spider. These kids don't know no better. It's the fucking Scarlet Spider, man. Come on.
Luckily for me, I sat next to a 15-year-old true believer, and we were dapping each other the whole movie.
So you're going to tell me this kid knows about the Scarlet Spider?
Yeah. He knew about a lot of stuff. I got him at certain points. I am a 40-year-old single man.
You're a veteran. Yes.
Yes, my knowledge of useless information is very, 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 very potent. High.
It's potent.
Potent, yes.
Untapped resource.
Yes, my knowledge is very, very, very strong.
I love the Guardians, but was it me or Chris Pratt gained some weight they combed his hair differently to make him look a little bit more chubby?
He gained a slight bit of weight. They
did make fun of him.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I think they realized that he gained some weight. And I think what happened was, I genuinely believe he was doing another movie that required him to get a little bit of weight. Because if you see him in Parks and Rec, which is what he was doing right before Guardians, he was a chubby pile of shit. And then he just got fucking ripped for the Guardians thing because he wanted the part so bad. And for 1 and 2, he was in good shape. And there's no excuse for him not to be in good shape unless his agent's like, yeah, you gotta put on some pounds for this role. And he did so little in this movie, he probably figured, you know what, I can do both of these at the same time And I genuinely believe he put on a little bit of weight. That's why he never took off his jacket.
That's true.
His jacket stayed zipped up the entire time. So you couldn't see the flab. But I saw, like, yo, that jacket's pretty goddamn full. That jacket is not slimming at all.
So we're transitioning from Earth to outer space now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Tony Stark, he goes out of space. He's Spider-Man there. I like the fact that Tony Stark...
With Strange.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that Strange and Stark can't stand each other. They just met, but each of them are like, yeah, we're both egotistical assholes. So... two alphas cannot coexist. It will not work. And I love the fact they kept exemplifying that. Like, yeah, these fuckers don't like each other. They're basically just shit-talking each other constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And the only thing that can make it better is you got the comedy relief, which is Spider-Man. Hey, I'm Peter Parker. Oh, hello, I'm Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our costume names. I'm Spider-Man.
That was pretty funny.
I mean, so as we were saying earlier, they take all the characters you would like and split them up. So we got Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Peter Parker. Okay. Now let's move over. What's happening over in space? Oh, you see the Guardians for no reason. By the way, I'm a little embarrassed now, Ray. I understand why you looked at me that way. As soon as they showed the Guardians, I heard some classic rock playing. I saw a spaceship. Oh, I said,
Rubber Band
yeah!
Man.
Yeah, Rubber Band Man. I was like, yeah, Guardians. That's what I'm here for. And again, the kid was like, I don't know, man. That 10-year-old was not happy with me.
Oh,
I was
man.
Like, fuck, Guardians. That's the only people I came to fucking see. This movie's going to suck. I just want to see the Guardians. And then you're like, okay, what excuse could they possibly have to be there? And it's like, oh, yeah, we got a distress signal from a ship. So we're going to go over there, help them out. They're going to give us some money and this and that. It's going to be all good. I will say they did make the group seem a bit stupider than they were previously, but they're just being comic relief, so it kind of makes sense.
Batista,
yeah,
man.
That's what they are.
Batista, man, with that staring trick.
Oh, dude, man.
That had
their... God damn it, man. The Guardians were the comic relief for this whole movie, and I fucking love it. I think, honestly, the Guardians of the Galaxy were the only thing that kept this from being a downer DC movie.
Yeah, brooding.
Because DC's always brooding and depressing. He's talking with Gamora. He looks up. How long have you been there? I'm invisible.
But it's like,
what the? I've learned to lower my movements to the point that you can't even but see me.
He's like, what the fuck is this?
But here's what I think. I think that dynamic is what made all the different squads unique. Whereas, like, Star-Lord and his team are kind of like, you know, fly by the seat of their pants
exactly.
type of crew.
Exactly. Yeah, we're here to kick gum and chew ass.
Kick gum
and chew ass. Stark and his team were, like, OP as fuck.
Yeah.
And then serious. You had Cap, who had everything down to a science. And we'll get to that when their scene comes.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
be getting
amazing.
To them next. To answer a distress signal, it just so happens... The distress signal was Thor's ship with all of them dead. And they show up, man, fuck, these guys are dead. And as soon as they pull them on board, I love the whole, man, look at how manly this
I
guy
like,
is.
I like the fact that Rocket said, use the wipers.
It's nasty. Use the wipers. Get it off. That was awesome. But what I like more is I've always said Chris Hemsworth has one job and one job only. Get women in the seats. And then once they're in the seats, get them seats wet. That's mm-hmm. Crimson. So as soon as he gets in, it's like everybody's like, my God, he's such a man.
Yeah, look, you're a dude.
His abs are rock hard. His arms feel like they're made of steel. And they went so over the top with it.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone else got the joke. I got the joke.
He was like, he's just a dude. He was like, no, Quill, you're a dude. He is a man.
And I think the way they wrote that, obviously, you know, that was the joke because even freaking Star-Lord was like, oh, I'm going to start acting more like him because he's such a manly man. Because I remember you told me, Ray, it's like, okay, that's a bit too much over the top saying he's going to act this immature and jealous just because they pull someone in the ship. And I'm like, no. That's the joke. When your wife all of a sudden is into comic book movies because she wants to see Thor, and you go to see Thor, and she's just sitting there squirming in her seat because she doesn't want to get a rash from all the liquid sitting on one side of her thigh. It kind of makes you like, well, fuck, you know, and you feel kind of emasculated because there's a real man on the fucking screen. So once you leave the theater with your wife, you're going to try to reestablish your dominance for a fictional fucking character. That was the joke. That's what happened when women go to see Chris Hemsworth. And I was
like
I love it.
A pirate had a baby with an angel.
It's freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, the Guardians were just phenomenal in every freaking way.
And even, so and one, even, and even uh-huh. before I met, the person that does so much in the background, but you really, it's such a great accent to everything the Guardians do, is Mantis. Have you just everything she does, the way she walks, the way she's just jumping around throughout the entire movie, question, the way she's creeping around.
What was when everyone's holding out their weapons? What was that shit she was doing with her hands?
She was just moving around like praying mantis.
Is that what that was? Yeah. I didn't even fucking get that. I thought she was putting her hands in the shape of like a hex.
Yeah,
but like Doctor Strange was doing the hex. Like, and it didn't occur to me to ask at the time, what the fuck is she doing with her hands? Is that how she uses her powers? But you're saying she did her hands the way a mantis does?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It was a joke.
I was genuinely wondering to myself, what the fuck is she doing? What, is she going to shoot something with her fingers? What the fuck is she doing?
Now that I think about it, that was truly an awesome scene. That whole scene, like
everything you ever been to, like an improv awesome, show, dude.
Like yeah. that remind, like everything was so just like so tight and so like boom, 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 boom. It was that was a really great scene. The jokes, I'm not a fan of jokes, but everything they did in that scene was perfect. When he started calling a Rocket Rabbit,
yeah.
I was waiting for Rocket to stop him and like correct him, like, look, I'm not a rabbit, but he just like never got around to it.
Well, maybe it was because he goes, clearly the rabbit is the smartest among you. He must be the captain.
That's right. I'm the captain.
Then he referred to everyone else as morons. That was excellent. It was perfect.
Damn, she's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm just looking at pictures of Mantis from Guardians 2 here. I want to watch the movie again now. Tell me, look at this and tell me you don't want to watch that movie again.
Yeah, I do.
Just looking at pictures of her on IMDb makes me want to watch the fucking movie again. Then again, we split the team again because now Thor and Rocket and Groot are going to the forge that has the dwarves. Now, here's the thing. You. Did they call it Nowhere in part one?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all called right. Nowhere.
Now, here's the thing that pissed me off. I would swear, and let me know if I'm wrong, but I'm sure I'm right.
In Nowhere is supposed to be celestial head?
Yeah, the hollowed out head of a celestial. In part one, it did not look like a celestial's head.
And I beat him to the nerd shit. Yes.
Yeah, in part one, I was pissed about that. I was like, dude, it's me supposed too. To be the hollowed out skull of a celestial god.
Me That's, too.
I was like, what the fuck is this? So the second time they go there, it looks like a head. And I was like, okay, that's not the same place they were at before. This must be someplace else. And then it was after the movie. That's when Ray was like, no, that was the same place. And I was like, what the fuck? Because I have that fucking comic book. It's supposed to be a fucking head the first time. I was so pissed off when it wasn't a head. When it wasn't a head the first time, I was pissed off.
It kind of sort of looked like... I watched the movie twice, and I'm trying to like figure it out. So now I got to buy the damn DVD and
of course.
Play it in slow motion.
Yep.
Hashtag me too.
I just liked everything went from comedy to serious. And the serious group is coming up with Vision and Scarlet Witch and Scarlett Johansson.
Well,
people that just can't smile.
Well, here's my thing, because I want to get back to the Guardians, but let's do it like we're going to do it chronologically. So let's go to Vision and Scarlett Johansson's, you know, the witch. They go down there, and Vision is banging, what's her face?
Scarlet Witch.
You know, of course, he's got the stone. Dan's going to want that stone. They go to fight and whatever. And it really bothered me that Vision
couldn't do shit.
Yeah, it seemed to me like he spent the majority of the movie getting his ass handed
to him. He was being a fucking ragdoll the entire time.
And that kind of bothered me because I used to read from the comics where Vision would literally push his hand through someone's chest and their fucking heart would come out the other side because he could phase.
Shit, man.
And I was like, yo, Vision used to fucking kill dudes with no problem whatsoever.
It's yeah,
like,
they yeah, totally, you're gonna hit me they totally like,
bitched him out.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's just sitting there getting slapped around all fucking. I'm like, he didn't seem like a powerful hero. And that bothered me because I was like, yo, between Vision and the Scarlet Witch, they could murk the entire Avengers. Tony Stark, Captain America, all of them. They could kill all the Avengers, just the two of them.
Which is
the way it's supposed to be. But it's like, dude, he's getting slapped around like a fucking rag doll. Fucking Scarlet Witch is sitting there screaming. It's like, fucking, what the fuck? Fucking do something.
Man, they made her look like a beast in this movie.
Well, no, Scarlet Witch technically
is a beast, yeah.
Well, she is a beast, even though her powers don't work the way they did it in the movie. You know what? Let's nerd out for just 2 minutes. Andre, could you give me an explanation of Scarlet Witch's powers?
Chaos magics, which I assume means anything.
Well, honestly, that, according to the writers, that is an accurate description. I mean, I remember reading one writer.
Scarlet Witch has always been one of those Deus Ex Machina characters where
I'll just do whatever is needed.
Result they want.
Yeah, I've been told officially that all her shit does is make your shit not work the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what the fuck does that mean? Oh, that's known as bullshit magic, otherwise known as the domino effect from X-Men. I was like, what? Oh
yeah, that's
domino.
Deus Ex Machina, dude. It's like
the domino from X-Men.
Whatever you want it to mean.
Whatever you want it to mean.
God in the machine, bro.
And I love the fact they get rescued by people that have nowhere near the power level they got.
Yeah, which was weird to me.
They might not have the power, but they have the training.
Yeah, they do have the training.
Dude, when Proxima Midnight looked at that train, I was like, oh, she's going to attack the train, and then Scarlet Witch is going to save the people. And then she threw that her staff, and the shadowy character caught it.
Did you know immediately?
Did you know immediately that was Cap?
No, when he caught it, did you know immediately that was your boyfriend?
No, I did not know because it's been that long.
Well, honestly, look, I'm a little embarrassed.
But then he threw it back to Scarlet Witch, which brought me back to the Civil War fight. And they were tag teaming with the spear. I was like, yep, they going to lose. They stronger, but they're not as well trained.
Yeah, being stronger doesn't.
Cap Squad is the shit.
If you can't punch Cap hard enough to burst all of his organs in one hit, then your being strong really doesn't matter all that much.
Hey, bro, Cap America beat a jet. That's all I got to say.
I don't know about that. But I will tell you.
Hey, I saw it with my own eyes twice.
I will tell you this. I was embarrassed because when he showed up, I actually leaned over to Ray. I said, who the fuck is that? And Ray said, what the fuck you talking about, man? It's fucking Captain America, man. Said, okay. It was the beard, man. The beard threw me off, and his hair wasn't blonde. So that just completely threw me off. And I was like, who the fuck is that? I was embarrassed.
He's in his nomad persona right now.
Oh, he serves his nomad persona.
He serves no country.
Oh, okay. So instead of pressing the hard punch button on the arcade, someone pressed the light kick and they got his other outfit.
Yeah, but he's still bringing the pain, baby.
Is it me? Or is every time we see Don Cheadle in the movie, he looks tired?
That's because he is.
Old ass man, dog.
Yeah, Don Cheadle.
He looked like he was in crutches or some shit, man.
No, man. He looked like he was sick. I was like, yo, is he eating? Is he all right? Does he got... Hey. Does
he got cancer? He on a 30-day juice fast, man.
Don Cheadle looked sick and fucking frail.
He did look frail as shit.
Isn't he making some shows on Showtime and shit? Is he not making money? Can he not feed himself? What the fuck? Don, are you all right? This is your boy. This is Antoine. It's your boy, Don. Talk to me. What's going on? You need some money? I'll hook you up, baby. What's going on? I'll give you a couple bucks.
He looked good when he did that Captain Planet fucking video.
Yeah, that was gay as shit.
7 years ago.
Oh, shit. Was it that long ago?
Yeah, that was forever ago.
Yeah, that was really long time ago, dude.
When they did the Gamora flash, when they did the flashback, did you not think that was the Skrulls?
Yes.
I was getting excited because I heard in the Captain Marvel movie there's going to be Skrulls. So I was like, did Thanos kill Skrulls?
Well,
are they
going to
explain why
Captain
Chitauri and the Skrulls are two different things?
Well, the Captain Marvel movie is going to have to be earlier than this. And by the way, we're going to get into that, but let's save that for the end.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I really want to get into that. But that's clearly going to be before all this shit went down.
Yeah.
No, so we get in there, and then when Rocket goes off with Thor, I don't know if someone's either being a nice guy or an asshole, but what's up with Peter Dinklage being a dwarf who's taller than everyone? What the fuck's going on with that?
That's Asgardian dwarfs, bro.
What? Are they that big in the fucking book? Did you ever see him in the book? I've never seen him. I've heard of him.
We're in the MCU, right? Mm-hmm. Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Does he need to eat? Because wouldn't he be a corpse if he couldn't eat, if he couldn't use his hands?
Just eat like a dog, bro.
Fuck, man. How can he freaking... Dog?
How does dogs don't use their hands and they still eat.
How does he unbutton his pants to take a piss? Because
pissing your pants. Why you want to know?
He wear elastic pants.
Why do you want this information?
I mean, I just felt bad for him.
As a large fat man, I wear elastic waistband pants.
Yeah, you do
ask
that.
Ask more questions.
You do that with a muumuu, you're all good.
I haven't got the muumuu level yet.
Well, I'm just saying, the options are on the table.
Nah, but I don't want to go there. Not yet.
I thought it was funny that Peter Dinklage is once again playing a dwarf. But a we're going to make him a large man, a giant. It's like, yo, you could have had anybody do that. Why you got to get a midget? Oh, sorry, did not call that. Why you got to get a little person? A little person. Why you got to get one of them to play a dwarf that you're going to superimpose as a giant?
You couldn't have got any other dwarf to do it. He's taking all the good dwarf jobs.
No, it ain't about getting some other dwarf to do it. I like Peter Dinklage.
I know, I like Peter Dinklage.
I'm just saying,
too.
Why did you see it necessary to get a midget?
Did you watch the movie? Did you watch the same movie I watched? He's impassioned. He's incredible.
Well, yeah. I'm sure you heard our review of that other movie he was in. Let's say he is impassioned.
Imagine if he had an extra 2/3 of a body. He would be incredible.
Yeah, he would.
He'd be the new Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Tom Hanks.
He'd be marrying Kennedys and becoming the governor of a state in no time.
Governor? President?
Oh, yeah. I'll give him that.
Look at that face.
Still thinking of him as a dwarf. He's a capable human being. He's handy capable.
All right, Damon Wayans.
You know he's
in Marlin. Fucking in Living
Color.
He's
in both now. He's in both universes. He's in the Fox universe.
No, that don't exist.
Oh yeah, well yeah,
yeah. That's gone.
I need to go to therapy.
Thanks
for bringing that up again, Ray. Thanks.
Especially after the ending of this movie, that's doubly gone. Which we'll get to. Let's not start because man, we might have to cut this up into that last argument being its own podcast. We may have to cut that off. So now we go back to Cap, right? Because the thing with Cap. Vision.
There's not much really going on there. I mean,
yeah, they go back, meet up with freaking War Machine and whatnot. We can use the Scarlet Witch to destroy the gym.
And then they go to Wakanda, and what happens?
Hold up. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. I want to get in that, bro. I want to get in that, but we got to go in order.
Okay.
So Tony Stark.
One of my favorite lines, because Chadwick Boseman, I can't help it.
He goes, put it out there too much.
Send word to the Jabari. M'Baku likes a good fight. I fucked that accent up. But I love it. I love that African tongue nonsense.
Don't make me cut you off, man. I love that.
Send word to the Jabari. M'Baku loves a good fight. I love that African shit, man. I love it.
You see, this is why
I wish I had a best friend that could stay by my side every day and just.
This is why I wanted to save that shit to the end. Because you're going to make me go off on the rant. You know I went to a historically black college. I can't fucking stand them motherfuckers. You know that.
Antoine, part of the reason why I love Black Panther. It's like, don't freeze. I never freeze.
I love that shit.
I see that shit 5 times a week.
The whole idea of an African that gives two shits about anybody that's outside of his tribe just offends me. The thing that really got me, very poignant part that I really like. Gamora... She knows where one of the soul stone that Thanos needs. She knows where it is. And she would rather die than give it to Thanos. And she pretty much begs Peter Quill, like, yo, if Thanos gets a hold of me, you kill me. I need you to kill me. And she makes him promise. And I absolutely fucking love the scene with Thanos, Gamora, and Peter Quill. And he grabs her and Peter Quill comes out and he aims the gun. And she's like, yo, What did I tell you? Why are you aiming the gun at him? What did I tell you? And he never comes out and say anything. He's still aiming the gun at Thanos. And Thanos knows exactly what it was she was saying.
Yeah.
Kill me before you give him this information. And I love the fact that Thanos is like, hey, you know, she asked you a question. She told you to do something. Do what she told you. Shoot her. She asked you to shoot her. You need to fucking shoot her. And then once he aims the gun at her, Thanos takes it a step further. He brings her up right in front of the gun so he can't miss. Like, yeah, she told you to shoot her, shoot her. And Thanos, the way Thanos was talking to her is awesome. It's like, you know what? He's not going to do it. You put your love in this man, he's not worthy of you. Look at him. Look at him. He's shaking. He's not going to do the one thing you asked him to do. You begged him to do. You made him promise he would do. This man is not worth you. because he won't kill you, which is what you told him to do. And I was just sitting there. I loved it. And then when Peter finally pulls the trigger, of course, fucking bubbles. Yeah, it turns into bubbles and the gun fucking disappears because Thanos could have stopped it whenever he wanted. Didn't Thanos look to her and said, "I like this man," and he walked off with her?
That was a very good scene.
That's like the dad, like, "I don't like you because you're trying to fuck my daughter, but you do one particular thing and you say to yourself, yeah, I kind of like this kid. He's all right." And you walk off. That it had that whole demographic of a disapproving father to me. Yeah.
Man, all I know is when they turned Drax into a bunch of blocks of foam, I was like,
I thought he was dead. I was like,
I thought he was dead.
I liked the idea that he was dead. I liked the idea that all of those people he fucked up were dead. I was like, okay, that's realistic. Okay, that's fine.
You know, Del Toro, of course, he's doing such a great job in the case. Magnificent! Magnificent!
Oh, yeah, that was
pretty good as well. Fucking Del Toro, this guy.
He does such a great job doing all these weird characters.
You guys only saw the movie once, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I saw it twice. Mm-hmm. On the second run, I was able to, like, really, really, like, see how he used the different stones.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty cool. So, like people are asking me, like, all my friends are asking me, like, what do the different stones do? And it's like, you really could see, like, the reality stone. He used it at scene.
Turning them into the different shit. That was reality.
What he used to teleport. So, it was really cool to see how he used the different stones and what they do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, I noticed that. Every single time I was using it. Because remember, he never used any particular ability before he had that stone. He went straight from where the Soul Stone was to his home planet. That was space. He couldn't use space before because he didn't know where the planet was. When she said, it's on this planet, she had to take him there. That's why he said, take me. Because he didn't know where the planet was. Otherwise, he could have used a space stone. And then he didn't use the time stone until after he got it from Doctor Strange around time to get, you know, the soul stone. And I think he's probably going to try to use it to bring Gamora back. Which, let's talk about that. I love that scene. That scene actually tugged at my heartstrings a little bit.
Yes, it did.
That scene blew my mind away because they had a character in there. Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-huh. I know who he was. It was Red Skull. But even when I saw him immediately, I was like, it looks like Red Skull. I leaned over to Ray again. Yo, who the fuck is that? And Ray was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's Red Skull. I'm like,
dude, what the fuck is Red Skull doing there? Everyone in movie theater started like it was a high gasp.
It would have been a high gas for me if I'd have guessed it was the Red Skull because I thought that was impossible. I was like, what would he be doing there? And Ray reminded me. It's like, no, remember? And freaking Captain America.
He didn't die, though. The Space Stone, like, didn't it suck him up somewhere?
Yeah, it sucked him somewhere. Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. Ray was like, no, it fucking sucked him up and sent him off. I was like, what the fuck? Pretty goddamn shocked.
It's a movie you really don't remember that much anyway. You only see it once. I only saw Captain America once. I don't think
I mean, First Avenger was one of those lackluster Marvel movies. Was probably the most lackluster Marvel movie to me, personally.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything for me. It was an okay story, but yeah, with this thing that the Red Skull is still alive, I would be more than happy to see Captain America 4 now, especially if the Russo brothers did it.
I love the fact because even though Ray saw it right away, when the guy was like, yeah, you must sacrifice something you love in order to get the soul gem, a soul for a soul. And he starts crying. I honestly thought that, yeah, he's crying because it's bittersweet. I have nothing I love for the soul gem. And what I thought was going to happen was he was going to throw himself off. And then after he hits the ground and dies, the soul gem comes to him and the soul gem revives him. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Oh, Antoine, you silly, silly guy.
No, because it's Thanos. He doesn't love anyone.
From the very moment. Actually, they said in the previous Guardians movie, the reason why Nebula hates Gamora so much is because she was his favorite.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he loves her.
I don't know, man. Again, you're thinking of bad guys in terms of like, ha, 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 I'll get you for this, He-Man.
Yeah, I know. My whole thing
Marvel
is,
I
prefer my
grounded
Xbox over my PC, but...
And then you know, they showed the flashback, right? Where he slaughtered her people, but he brought her in. So... From the second I saw that flashback, I was like, yeah, he's going to throw off that cliff.
What that flashback said to me was that she was an experiment. Like, Because, see, originally, I thought that Gamora's mother and father were the ruler of her world, like the king and the queen. And he kept her around as a trophy or something. But then she was like, oh, no, they're just random people. And my whole thing was like, she didn't seem to do anything to really warrant that sort of attention from him. Whereas everyone is being cowed. All of his minions are hurting people, so they wouldn't pay attention to this one little kid. This fucking kid, what's she gonna do? I would have had her run all the way up to Thanos and like strike him in the face. He wouldn't feel nothing. It's like, this fucking kid, just strike him in the face, strike him. And then when one of his soldiers comes up to like smash her in the head with the butt of his gun, he probably like hit him so hard that his neck snaps back, and he takes the child and he's like, do you know that I could kill you? I can kill you with little more than a thought. I could break your bones, you know, and I'd have like stand up straight and start hitting him in the face again. And he's like, you have the courage of your convictions. I told you you would die. You understand that? She's like, yeah, you're willing to die for what you believe. What you believe is right. He's like, let me show you something. See this, how this is balanced and this and that and whatever. And from there on, there would be that love burgeoning coming through and whatever. It would have just been better if they would have explained a little bit more what would have motivated him to take this child in.
You know, Antoine, I love you.
Look, I'm just saying, instead of having a random kid come up writing
stories for Fox and Company X. I refuse to say their name on this show.
You're mocking me now.
The reason I loved it was because of the pure simplicity and the simple intentions of the villain. He does not need to be over the top.
It's not about being over the top. Look,
even though everybody thinks I'm a mass murderer, I'm a good guy. I'm going to take this little girl.
Right.
I'm going to raise her up to be the best little killer the universe has ever known.
And exactly how do you explain to me your motivation for doing that? Where he could have had his pick of the litter of millions of people, or even created one, but he chooses this weird girl in the middle of nowhere, some random masquerade is doing. How do you convey to me his reasons for wanting to do that?
Did you see Guardians?
Mm-hmm, I did.
He picked more than one. Nebula was one of them. And the reason why Nebula hates Gamora so much is because she was weaker than Gamora.
Right.
Thanos punished her.
Uh-huh.
Gamora wasn't good,
right,
then Gamora would have been punished.
Right.
Survival of the fittest, man.
Exactly. And why did he pick Nebula?
Have no idea. Apparently she was weaker than Gamora. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have no idea why he picked Nebula. Are you willing to tell me that you know exactly why he picked Gamora? Because my whole thing is, you have no idea why he picked Nebula. I have no idea why he picked Nebula.
Maybe he was a pedophile. I don't know.
That's my whole thing. I don't know why he picked Nebula. Like, I don't know why he picked Gamora.
Hold on.
If you're just randomly... What's that?
The Black Order were also his children.
No, I won't go that far.
Like, they were all people that he picked, right? They were called the children of Thanos. The four superhumans that he brought to get the Power Stones. Now, Ray, thank you, Ray.
It sounds like you're talking about Apocalypse, like the Four Horsemen.
The gems. No, but, like, they didn't call them by their names. But, like, Cull Obsidian, Emity Moore, Proxima Midnight, and Brown Dwarf.
Yeah, but they were picked for a reason, because they have
they were
powers.
Also children of Thanos.
Right, but he did not call them his sons and daughters. He did not treat them as if they were his sons and daughters.
But he called them children of Thanos in the movie.
He didn't call them whatever he wants. He didn't, when they said, oh, I assume you're here, but this guy's not, I assume he's dead. He didn't say, you've killed my son. He's like, oh, well, this day's got lots of sacrifices. Fucking sucks. But my whole thing is, I'm saying, he singled these girls out, and they never showed what he did, at least with Gamora. There's an emotional attachment.
He gave
and
her food.
They never explained why the emotional attachment is there. Oh, she did better in fighting than this other chick. That's not enough of a reason for me to cry when I throw her off a cliff. If I have to toss my car off a cliff to get the one thing I've always wanted my entire life, that's going to fucking suck, but I'm not going to shed no goddamn tears. It's a mean to an end. This was not a mean to an end. This was someone he loved. This went beyond his goals. This was someone that genuinely gave his life purpose. It's like saying, I am doing this for my kids, but in order to achieve this, I have to kill my kids.
So you would toss a car off the cliff?
Yeah. If primary goal in my life is to have $100 million, yes, I would toss my car off my cliff. But my whole thing is, I'm willing to accept the idea that he loves her genuinely within his soul, especially the fact that he was putting up with so much shit. I love the fact when he gave her some food, she threw it at the throne and she said, "I've always hated that throne so much." And he's like, "I've always envisioned seeing you sitting on that throne. I'm doing all this for you." You know, it's like, I love that. It's like, yeah, I'm doing all this for my daughter. I want her to be able to pick up after me without having to go through all this shit, you know, and all that was great. I would have just appreciated a little bit more depth. And it was only 5 minutes. The whole thing with their origin, with him first getting her, like fucking 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You could have spent an extra minute and a half to show the bond of love.
Maybe got cut off on a, on,
you
a
know, I
a,
love
on editing.
I love this girl because she's fearless. She looked me right in the eyes. And instead of cowering just so you can live for a bit longer, she said, "No, just smack him in the face, because even if I die, it is what is right. It's what needs to be done." He's like, "I respect that."
There's probably a lot of deleted scenes that they just probably cut for time.
Oh, I guarantee you. Which I will see once we get the Blu-ray.
So Dre, what would you throw off a cliff?
I mean, for me, I didn't need any more explanation. Antoine, I don't know. I guess he needs more.
Yeah, because, you know, some people are a bit more simplistic than others. But, you know, I mean, my whole thing is I'm a man of the people. You know, if you want to just go into the movie theater and you know, get some popcorn and cover it with, you know, corn syrup and eat that shit, that's fucking fine. Yeah, I'm a man of the people.
How hard is it for you to believe that out of all the children that he must have abducted and raised, that she was the one he really liked? Maybe he wanted to ship it.
I absolutely believe that it's possible. I just would like to know why.
And is that the polite way of saying it?
Like finger bang?
I didn't say that.
I didn't see that in the movie. I don't know. Maybe that's in the edited cut. I don't know. I didn't see that. I'm just saying.
That's the why do you think she ran away, dog?
What? You need Jesus, man. So after they meet up with Thanos comes back. So Iron Man, Doctor Strange,
Spider-Man,
Star-Lord, Mantis, Drax, they all fight him.
Oh, that was a great scene.
That was
a great
good
scene.
When they arrived on
Titan, and he was like, Spider-Man was like, "Please, if an alien puts babies in my stomach, please, please." And he was like, "That's just my way of saying like something's coming." And then like they had the showdown, the face off.
Yeah.
And what did Doctor Strange say? Master do you serve? He's like, "What, you want me to say like Jesus?" That was pretty funny.
He's like, "Where's Gamora?" It's like, "No, who's Gamora?" And Drax is like, "I got one better. Why is Gamora?"
Comedy relief.
Great scene again.
It's all again on the writing. And the writing credits goes to, like, everybody. I mean, Christopher Marcus, Stephen McFeely. I saw James Gunn's name all over the place in the credits.
Oh, yeah. James Gunn is the mastermind of this Guardians thing, man. Marvel comedy.
You got two superpower beings plus the Guardians, man, plus Spider-Man. That could not have been the most dynamic battle scene I have seen in any superhero movie.
It was really good. That whole scene was like, it was just refreshing, dude.
Yeah, you had the argument between Iron Man and Star-Lord. It's like, let me just do all the plans. Your plan sucks. Because it's true. If you look at all of Tony Stark's plans, if it doesn't have anything to deal with battle tactician, it's usually just him using bigger and badder weapons. It's never really strategy, because he's always looking for the bigger gun.
Yeah, he's not a tactician. His solution is make a bigger gun.
Just to have Tony come down on Thanos with that freaking plant, whatever that ship was, I thought that was freaking awesome.
Just the whole battle scene where everyone, like Doctor Strange, was making the little portals for Star-Lord to jump on. He was making the portals for Spider-Man to swing through. Everyone was just going hardcore at Thanos.
Even Drax was sliding in and cutting him at the legs. I'm like, I think Drax did the least amount of work.
I mean, that's probably one of the most depressing things for me. Even the Guardians movie. Like, Drax's supposed to be the shit, and they kind of relegated him to comic relief.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be much more powerful than they portray him as in the movies. He fits his role, man.
That pissed me off, because I was like, okay, Mantis is going to be useless. But she came in, it's like, yeah, I'm just going to grab his head and put him to sleep. I was like, oh, shit, that makes sense.
She's not useless.
Yeah, that's really actually useful. Good. That actually makes a lot of sense. that she's putting to sleep, and then they, right when they're just getting it off, which I don't think it should have been that hard to get off. I mean,
it was off. It was off.
And he grabbed it at the last minute. But the whole thing is, Nebula would have cut his goddamn arm off, dude, and just been done with it. Just cut his arm off. Gloves off now. He just cut his arm.
I love the fact that Thanos, she goes to Thanos, I'm going to kill you. And it's like, why didn't you kill me? And Thanos says, you would have been a waste of good parts.
Oh, you would have been a waste of good parts.
That was pretty funny. Actually, it's fucked up.
I also like the fact that when he was torturing her and he asked Gamora where the thing was, you saw Nebula a little bit like shake her head, like, no, don't tell him. Don't tell him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like she could take the pain. Just don't tell him. Yeah. That was pretty awesome. I like that.
It's a lot of great subtlety in this movie. But, you know, I do believe the fight scene, the space fight scene was much better than the ground fight scene.
Yeah, I think so, too.
By a lot. I mean...
Well, to me,
the first time the space fight scene felt bigger, but then the second time I liked the Earth fight scene much better.
I honestly think the Wakanda scene was underwhelming. And let's go ahead and get on over to that one.
Oh yeah,
because first of all, and I'm gonna get the same amount of hate mail I got with my complaints for the Black Panther, even though I loved it. Black Panther was a good movie. The few complaints I had, people were screaming at me. Those complaints are still here, and the complaints aren't with the movie. It was never with the movie.
Hold on. People actually listen to this?
Yeah. Every once in a while.
Oh, wow.
By accident.
Wow.
No,
I thought I was the only one.
You have to understand, when you type the Black Panther in there, you're going to get some clicks. That's the whole thing. I put, you know, Black Panther something, you're bound to get clicks. You know, every place people go, they have the name show up on the bottom. Nowhere, New York, whatever. As soon as the fucking thing comes up, says Wakanda. I hear hooting and hollering and clapping and shit. And I'm like, man, what the fuck? Get the fuck out of here. Come on. For real? It's not a real fucking place. It's not fucking real. Sit the fuck down and watch the movie.
I do believe an airline got in trouble for selling flights to Wakanda as a fake promotion package. And people were upset that they couldn't go. Oh, funny. Man, that's pretty fucked
but
up.
But when Wakanda came up, people were clapping and cheering and shit. And then, and I shit you not, fucking Black Panther shows up. Freaking,
Woo, Black Panther.
No, it's worse than that. What's the actor's name?
Chadwick Boseman.
Thank you. Boseman is there for like a good minute and a half. Not a sound. You get your pin drop. The moment he says something, welcome to Wakanda, people start fucking cheering and clapping. At this point, if I had a table in front of me, I would have flipped the table at this point. Like, fuck it, for real. For real. This is what we're doing? For real? Fuck you guys.
Sounds like that. You need to start watching your movies in Boca Raton, Antoine.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It was upsetting me. It was like, can we put this beyond the superficial, please? I think the reason I'm so upset is because I actually fucking like this movie so much. Why are you...
And you wish you were from Wakanda.
No. Absolutely not. I could never like it enough to want to be back in the early 1990s. No, you can keep Wakanda within the time warp that it's stuck in. So anyway.
Antoine, you mean to tell me that you don't want to have some magical hologram beads? Stop lying. You
if
nerd.
It means like I have to dress as a backup dancer for Ace of Base, no. No, you go ahead and you keep that. That's all right.
Cool. Okay, let's leave it at that.
All right. Let's fucking leave it at that. So they're all in Wakanda. Basically, the whole crew, along with freaking Bruce Banner, we got freaking Winter Soldiers in there, and they're all at Wakanda, along with the black African tribemen doing their chanting and jumping up and down and shit. So they're there. Now, this cinematically, it's still good. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Because they have the shield up. It's like, yeah, you can't come in here, bro. It's Wakanda. You can't come in here. We got the shields up.
That was pretty amazing.
So they released so many of their drones that if you have enough people pushing on it, it gets weak and it shorts out just a small bit. But even when it shorts out, whatever part of you gets through when it comes back on, it basically snaps you in half.
I thought it was amazing.
And they didn't fucking care because they were told to go in there. They were going to go in there, even if multiple pieces of them have to come off. And I fucking
love
it.
Mindless, just soldiers.
Yeah.
Like the Zerg.
eventually it's like, yeah, open up a small portion here because some of them are starting to go around to the side and we'll have a fucking problem. And so they open it up. So you have your excuse for the obligatory
confrontational battle.
Thank you. Which was okay. I mean, they were doing a pretty admirable job.
I just felt that as much as he meant well, I think Falcon didn't really do much.
I mean, come on, dude. The guy just has like two Uzis.
You only think that because he was fighting alongside War Machine, and anything he did right after his War Machine is like, yo, watch out, and then drop some napalm.
I mean, War Machine is exactly that. War Machine,
you know, came in afterwards and just fucking devastated him and his little robotic Falcon drones that go out. Fuck out of here. Let me drop this napalm. Burn some Vietnamese.
But again, Team Cap, they play on strategy. They don't always win. You can't beat Team Cap. That's my boy. He don't put together a bullshit team. I'm just saying, I ain't gay.
Absolutely.
Love Cap.
Absolutely. It's like when Cap busts that nut inside of you, it's like he always has a strategy to get out. He ain't claiming responsibility for no babies.
I asked for it. I can't make babies. I can't make butt babies.
And Cap knew that when he inseminated. Bam! That's that strategy. always on game.
You know what was the most pimp point
what?
Of this movie? When they engage, you saw Cap and Black Panther running super fast in front of the whole crew.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because they have that adrenaline, that speed. They're the only ones that can run that fast. That was pretty awesome. I like that.
That's called super soldiers, okay?
Yeah, they both are, basically.
And that's what I loved about Civil War, you know? It showed that Cap is a step above everybody else.
Was it me starting to go down and Thor came in and he had that epic move where he just went into the sky and the screen went dark? I thought that was amazing.
Okay, let me put on my cap, my nerd cap. All right, now Ray, you go ahead and stay silent for a couple minutes. Me and Dre got some talking to do. First of all, how geeked were you to see, because most laymans don't realize this, when Thor went to that furnace, he had Mjolnir changed into, what's the name of that?
Stormbringer.
Stormbringer.
Thank you. Instead of the hammer, it was the axe. Axe on one side. Hammer. When I saw that, I was just like, flipping around.
Stormbringer is the name of Beta Ray Bill's axe, right? Am I wrong?
Bills, yeah. Yes,
it is.
But when the dwarf said it might have parts of the Bifrost in it, I was like, oh yeah.
Okay.
Now we know how he's going to get back to Earth. But then when I saw that thing fall out the mold, I was like, that's Ultimate Axe. That's Ultimate Thor's Axe.
The Ultimates, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I got so geeked up. And I was like, we need a handle. I was sitting there. I was like, Groot. Groot.
make a handle, Groot. Make it happen.
Dude, I got so hyped.
That was Ultimate Thor. That was from the Ultimates. Not the Avengers, Ray. The Ultimate. But you don't know about that.
All right.
You don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I do know what the Ultimates is.
Get the fuck out of here.
Have you read the Ultimates, Ray?
First two issues.
Oh, God.
first two volumes?
No,
first
issues. Two issues.
Motherfucker.
Oh boy. Whatever.
Anyways,
when I saw that, I was losing my shit because they were putting so much modern day canon so far, so fast, just throwing it in there. And I was like, I love it though because they're cherry picking the best of the best
and doing a great job of doing it.
Dude, going from having Iron Man with Bleeding Edge, Spider-Man getting jumped all the way up to Scarlet Spider, then you got Thor being jumped all the way up to the Ultimates. It's like, what the fuck? I was losing my shit. That is called fan service. DC needs to learn, unfortunately.
Two things that I'm waiting for them to do in a Marvel movie.
Don't even start, bro.
My head will explode. I'll just kill myself, dude. Because I know life don't get better than that.
And you might as well do that because you know that's what they want. That's what Disney and Marvel wants. Disney wanted to do that.
No D-word companies in this show.
Look, you have to say the name of the beast.
Disney or DC, I'm going to just turn the phone off. I'm done.
Okay, I'm so excited to talk about that other stuff. I'm going to rush. So
can we just call them Company X going forward? Thank you.
You know what? Let's do it. Right, I'm going to call them Company X. Company X. So when you get to the end, and this is, oh, God, this is the best part. this is what threw it over the edge for me. Well, oh, by the way, also, first of all, Thor showing up and Bruce Banner saying, yeah, you guys are fucked now. And Thor just comes up and instantly murks everybody. Someone in the theater was like, oh, come on, man, really? And I wanted to stand up and like, yeah, really? Yeah, yeah, that's Thor could do that. You know, there was an issue in Avengers when he was like, you know, I'm just holding myself back because combat is supposed to be something to be done with friends. I want you guys to feel useful. But Thor told him straight out, like 95% of all of our battles I could end immediately.
Oh, yeah.
On definitely. My own. He's like, I can just show up and end it. But I don't, because I want you guys to have the glory and thrill of battle. Because I consider you friends. If I didn't consider you friends, I would just show up, end it, and leave. Because you wouldn't even be worth my hanging around.
Go have a mead.
So when he shows up and just like lightning goes everywhere and instantly kills all these guys, I'm like, yeah, yeah. That's correct. Yes.
Yes. That's Thor.
He's fucking pissed.
That's power Thor.
Didn't he come in there and say, where is Thanos?
Where is Thanos?
I told you, you should have killed. No, I told you, I will kill you for that. And then Thanos says, you should have aimed for the head.
Oh, yes. That's what it was.
And then he does hit Thanos, cleaves in his chest, but it doesn't kill him instantly. And because Thanos has the gauntlet, all it takes is a thought for his will to be made. And his thought was, yeah, kill 50% of everyone. And also, you know, take me away from here. Heal my chest. You get to see the ending with half of all the characters you love turning into dust and crumbling away. And
upon the first viewing, it was Thursday night. Everyone in the movie theater just gasped. They were like, and like everyone was like, the little kid sitting next to me was like, no, 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 no. What's going on? No, no,
and you
no.
Know what? And Dre, you know what?
Yes.
You know
they
what?
They did a great That's job. Good. Everyone was fucking caught off guard.
I want that kid to see that happening, say, no, 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 no. And I want him to say, you better make sure you get to the comic store this time next month to get that next issue to see how this gets fixed. That's what I want him like, welcome to my world. Then guess what? That next issue, they may not fix it. You got to get the issue after that. And you know what? 4 issues down, it's still not fixed. Guess what? He may really be dead. You will never know. Keep buying the issues. Welcome to my world.
You know what? It didn't sink into a lot of people in our theater until I have to say, the Black Panther disappeared. A lot
of kids, God. Their hearts were broken. Yeah, yeah. That's when all hell broke loose. When T'Challa died, that's when all hell broke loose. Yeah.
Ray, where are you watching your movies at? In
South Florida.
Liberty City?
Nah, man.
You don't need to go watch it up in Boca.
Nah, man.
No, man. Up in Boca, you wouldn't get the flavor.
I have to say that Don Cheadle pulled a Keith David.
A what now?
A Keith David.
How so?
You know, Keith David is the only black guy to survive a sci-fi movie.
He's never died in a movie?
He's never died in a sci-fi movie. Keith David. You know, in The Thing, he was the only black guy to survive.
Hmm. I think LL Cool J as well. LL Cool J never dies horror. In his movie.
That wasn't sci-fi. That was horror.
But look, all the black significant characters died except for Don Cheadle.
Hmm. Wait.
Yeah, because they need somebody.
Everybody
died except for the pre-Avengers characters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Idris Elba, makes sense. Dead. Who else?
Pre-Avengers characters.
Falcon, they all dead. Died.
Makes sense. Now, look, here's my thing, though.
So there's only like 9 of them left.
And the best part is it ends, and once all of them fade away, you just see a house up on a hill on some random planet. Thanos walks out, and there's the sun setting, and you see the tear fall down his eye.
Then a smile on his face.
And a smile on his face. Roll credits. And I jumped out of my seat, and I was like, why have you done this to me, DC? Why have you led me astray? And I wept.
You know, DC wouldn't have the wherewithal to be able to make a movie this complex.
Dude, until they fire Jeff Johns, they're never going to have a great DC universe. Jeff Johns is the death of DC.
What? Why you say that?
He's horrible. He should not be in charge.
Is he in charge of their movie division?
No, but they do base a lot of stuff on his stuff.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter whose stuff Jeff, you base it no, on. I think the director.
But he's one of the main people at DC, and they don't have a Kevin Feige. They don't have a main guy in charge of movies. They don't. They let fucking DiDio and Johns and fucking Jim Lee put their shit fucking ideas all over the fucking place.
They're just jacking off all over things.
They need a Feige. They need someone who loves the content.
That's always what's most important. You have to love the content.
And you can't have a creative in charge. You can't have a writer in charge.
Well, the reason you can't do that is because a writer or a creator doesn't love the content. They love their content.
Exactly. And that's the problem. A lot of DC stuff was based on Geoff Johns stuff.
Yeah.
Geoff Johns is good at JSA. He's good at Green Lantern. And everything else is garbage.
Damn.
And he's like one of the head architects. Remember how Bendis was an architect at Marvel? Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. But Bendis did a fairly good job because a lot of this stuff is based on Bendis's shit. Mm-hmm. And Ultimates, you know, Bendis did a great job. He brought me into Avengers. I could care less about Avengers. They weren't the greatest stories.
It's all about the X-Men.
They weren't the greatest stories, but it was good enough because he made a road. They made a roadmap from like Avengers Disassembled to Civil War to like all those things that made me care about Avengers. And this is what all these movies are based on. Yeah. Like, Bendis is a good writer for concept. He should be editor-in-chief.
He should be, actually. That actually makes a lot of sense.
But too bad he's fired, so he's gone. All right.
Well, he's at DC now. He's at DC now. But like,
he's DC's problem.
I'm ready to read Bendis' Superman, dude, because, I mean, Bendis writes great stories, dude.
No, he has some of Bendis has some of the best stories I've ever read, but in a lot of ways, he keeps pulling back from the well.
And he's been doing it for so long, I don't expect greatness from him anymore. Like, we all laugh at Jeff Loeb now, but 15 years ago, Jeff Loeb was the shit.
Fuck yeah, Jeff Loeb was the shit back then.
Yeah, we all laugh at him now.
Tons of Jeff Loeb shit.
All right, then.
Yeah, back then. That's the
point I'm making, you know? But Geoff Johns has always been garbage. He made two things. JSA and Green Lantern. And even his Green Lantern was garbage because Hal Jordan is just a cracker.
You know what?
I hate Hal Jordan. You know what? Let's get back to
Ray,
it.
Ray, now you were telling me at the end, Nick Fury, Maria Hill is just appearing. He goes to send his emergency transponder, which is going to go to Miss Marvel, or I guess I should say Captain Marvel now. And I told Ray the moment I saw that, I will not be watching that movie. How say you?
Going into this movie, I was like, I'm going to watch this one and I'm done.
Oh, so when the next Avenger Infinity Wars come out, you're going to watch that?
I was like, I'm done. This movie, I'm out. I'm not going to watch any more Marvel movies after this movie. I was so into it. And then like as it ended, I was like, what the fuck? What am I watching? What is this? What's going on? Everybody just disappeared. This is stupid. Where are they going next?
You don't really expect me to believe that. You read Infinity War.
No, really, 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 dude. I was out. I was like, you know what? It's a bait and switch. Y'all trying to trick me into watching 10 more of y'all stupid movies.
No. You're thinking about this movie the way comics work. Comics saying we got this new thing, but you got to get every issue in these other 8 series. You see, that's what made me stop collecting comics. That's exactly why I stopped.
That's why I don't read any Marvel.
That's when I stopped collecting comics because they made me start doing that.
You guys trying to trick me into like collecting 40 comics that I don't even care about.
Exactly. I used to do that shit. Then, I fucking hate it.
But they showed Maria Hill and Samuel Jackson in the car driving. Oh, she disappeared.
It was on Beachtree Street.
Too. And then like he runs to the back, he grabs the device, he disappears. I'm like, really? Sell me. When I saw that star, I was like, yep, I'm in.
Okay. Two things.
I'm in for another year.
First of all, did you notice what city they were in?
No.
Right?
They were by Dragon Con Peachtree, man. They were in Atlanta, man.
They were in ATL?
Yeah. They were on Peachtree.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel embarrassed that Ray was the one that had pointed out. Like, yeah, that looks like Peachtree Street. Like, Ray, there's millions of streets in the goddamn country. I'm sure it's not Peachtree Street. And they did one shot.
With the helicopter.
Angled up and showed the helicopter. I was like, fuck. That's fucking Peachtree. That's where the building's on Peachtree Street. So I was like, okay, it's Peachtree. First of all, do you think it's going to be Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel?
Captain.
Okay, I got a problem. I don't think I'm going to be watching that.
No, because they do have you casted for Captain Marvel.
Well, here's my thing. Are they going to have Captain Marvel act like Miss Marvel in the comic books? Or, like, I don't know if you've read...
Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel? Like the
Girl,
are you talking about Carol Danvers?
I'm saying Carol Danvers has recently decided to get a bull dyke haircut and get rid of all of her curves. And every time she opens her goddamn mouth, a whole bunch of Tumblr feminist SJW bullshit tumbles out. That's the current Captain Marvel, and I refuse to read that shit. Well, I like reading Ms. Marvel.
What I've heard so far is that Captain Marvel will be the most powerful character in the Marvel universe.
God. Okay, fine. You know what?
And that's, I don't think even she's going to be some SJW throw around.
I want to know, will she look fuckable or not?
Yeah, Brie Larson's pretty hot, though.
Have you seen any of these? Just Google it, man. You can see some of the clips from the movie.
Hold on. Don't go nowhere. Stay right where you are. Hold on.
I don't really care that much because until I saw this movie on Friday, I did not. I thought I was done. I thought I was done with this shit. I thought it was over, man. I thought it was game over, man.
Here's the thing. I used to love Ms. Marvel, and then when they changed it to Captain Marvel, I absolutely, positively hated the whole book.
The only thing I like about Captain Marvel is the uniform. I think the uniform is incredible.
Uniform's fine. Because,
like, I think, like, when Marvel, like, changed all their female uniforms, I was like, whoa, it's really dope now.
Well, I prefer the old...
They weren't wearing bikinis anymore.
I prefer the old Miss Marvel uniform because she was sexy as shit. Cal Danvers was like, God damn.
I don't read those comic books.
Right.
If I want to see beautiful naked women, I watch porn.
Porn's not as good.
So you say, sir. So
I just remember very, 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 very important that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
I need you to do me a favor. Could you put your nerd hat back on? I got some nerd stuff to talk about. It's very important.
What we expect to happen in the future. So this is what I'm thinking.
This is what we're asking it. The whole thing is, Ray was explaining to me after the Infinity War.
Yeah.
They, like, relaunched a whole bunch of the characters because so many were killed. And they had them reborn once someone else took the gauntlet. And there's so many people in the Marvel film studios that are saying they're done. They're not doing anymore yet. Robert Downey Jr.
He's getting old.
Freaking Hugh Jackman says he's done. Fucking all these goddamn characters, like, yeah, I'm not coming back. These actors are like, I'm not doing these characters no more.
Chris Evans.
Yeah. This will give them the excuse that they need to relaunch
and with recast completely everybody.
Different actors. It's genius. It's absolute fucking genius. What say you?
No, I totally believe you. I totally, I mean, now's the time to cast a new Iron Man, a new this, a new that. Now's the time for them to go forward with, like, if they want to do something new, especially with the verge of the Fox thing, their chance to do anything they want to do.
Exactly. It's a good thing that you have good, viable excuse to recast everybody because it's a different universe. It's awesome that Marvel can do that.
I put every roadblock imaginable in front of this movie. I'm a DC fanboy. You've got too many stars. The book is too thick. It's too much. It's like a year plus worth of content. You just cannot possibly make this work. And because of that, I will lower my standards for you. And I saw it, and I actually said I did not need to lower the standards. Jesus fucking Christ. They pulled it off. The fucking Russo brothers, I don't know what to say about these guys. The fact that typically this could never be pulled off before, that was the only thing allowing me to give DC a pass. And these fucking guys did it. I don't know what to say. I'm gonna say I want this inside of me because this is just so far beyond what I had possibly hoped for.
Maybe because
it's that good. Fuck, I'm upset now.
Good thing it was two directors because I don't think one guy would be able to handle all this responsibility.
Then fine. If that's what you have to do, then fucking do it, DC. Jesus.
For me, I'm going to rate this. I want this inside me because this movie was fucking awesome.
So,
this shit was...
What can you say?
There's nothing more than you can say when you see Doctor Strange turn into a million guys and attack Thanos and it be optically beautiful.
So you're just going with the visuals.
No, the visuals, the story, the comedy, everything was perfect.
Everything did stuff
that you would see in cartoons and in comic books and actually do it correctly on screen where you could believe it. And it not look hokey or stupid or silly. It looked smart, well planned out. All the action was just like freaking perfect. So... yeah, I want it inside me.
Dre, what do you give it?
I'm a channel of old Baptist black preacher right now.
Uh-oh. Cover yourself, Ray.
Say, The colonization.
I'm going to start speaking in tongues.
The humanization.
Oh, my brother, I feel the ghost coming on. The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
I'm going to start flinging my arms around.
Anyways. Let me this movie, 10 years. I've been waiting for this movie for 10 years.
This specific movie.
This
specifically Infinity War.
Specifically Infinity War.
Not just Avengers.
From the moment they laid out the roadmap.
Avengers, not just Civil War. No.
Nope.
Specifically, you wanted Infinity War.
Nope. I wanted Infinity Wars. Okay. Infinity Wars.
Okay.
And you know what? I love this movie. This movie was incredible. Uh-huh. I'm a hater. I love to just knock shit down.
Me too.
This movie was incredible.
That's the only way you can make shit better is by knocking it down, bro. Come on.
The Russo brothers went above and beyond. They made the greatest movie I've ever seen, comic book movie that is. I just want to have babies with this movie.
Are you gonna? As a black man, are you gonna stay to raise them or no?
That's it.
You gonna go one step further and actually stick around for the babies that you make with this movie?
I have a good job. I could put them on the insurance and all that good stuff.
No, I don't know about that. Look, once we're off air, I'm going to talk to you.
I'll set up a trust fund. You know what I mean?
Look, I'm just saying. Once we're off air, I'm going to talk to you about MGTOW, about going your own way. You might be better off just not doing that. All right. So anyway, so that's it. A straight across the board, super duper enthusiastic. I'm going to have sex with the knot hole in this tree. That last statement had nothing to do with the score. Always of the best. I want this inside of me. God damn it. This is a good movie. Everybody go out and see the fucking movie. Is there anything else I can say?
I think everybody did go see out the movie because the movie made $250 million.
Wait, right now?
I'm serious. It made $250 million.
Holy shit.
It broke every fucking record.
God damn. That's because of you and your I'm going to see it fucking three times ass.
I will go watch it again right now.
God damn you.
It's at 630 worldwide on its first 2 days.
$630 million.
Yes.
I can get them an extra $20. I'm going right now. Peace out, bitches.
All right. Ray, hit the music. We're out of here.
All right.
Maybe we'll go see it one more time.
Don't forget to visit our website at g2ta.net and gottatalkaboutit.com. Come on, man. You
fucking
got this shit. You got one
gone fucking
job, man. You got
it's
one.
It's fucking gone. I pressed the. Maybe just like toss you in there whenever you're available.
I've been interested in doing this from day one.
God damn, Ray. You've been holding out on me.